Hey y'all, welcome back to But Not All at Once, the podcast for anyone who has seen the acute irony within the Calm app. This week, while dealing with all of this, imagine that I am gesturing vaguely to the wider world that seems to be on fire. I opened the Calm app because I felt like I could use a dose of what it had to offer. And it loaded with 1995 AOL dial-up speed. It was not in a hurry to provide me comfort or calm. And instead, it provided me a mocking scream that said, "Take a deep breath." It might as well have said, "And you're nuts, dial it down." Listen here, Calm app. I will not be mocked by you or anyone for feeling very deeply what's happening in the world. And in fact, in my Instagram DMs, I have evidence that loads and oodles and many a listener feels just the same way. And that's why we're here today. Welcome to the kickoff of season 3, if you can believe it, of the But Not All at Once podcast. I'm Ann Smith, genuinely delighted to be here, no matter how cynical and tired I may sound. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so thrilled not to be alone in this season kickoff we didn't see coming. I was one of those people, probably one of very few, because many of you have a clearer view of the wider world than I do. But last March, when quarantine started, I was super Mary Poppins. You can go back and listen to my episodes around that time, and it was very, let's think of fun themes for every day. We're going to have opposite day. We're going to eat macaroni for breakfast and grits, eggs, and bacon for supper. And it's going to be delightful. And we're just going to snuggle and gather around the radio. And it's going to be a 1940s, just picturesque kind of time. It lasted a little longer than that. And the picturesque and the sheen started to wear off. The patina began to show up of exhaustion. I finally fessed up to that in late summer when I went on my apology tour telling all of you, "Hey guys, you've been sending me all of these DMs about how tired you are and how isolated you're feeling." And there was an ounce of me that felt a bit of superiority because I was handling things so beautifully, but it turns out I was just in denial, and let me tell you, I'm sorry. So here we are in January. It's 2021. My marker moved. My finish line just kept creeping away, kind of like that swim instructor when I was a small child who, I'll probably have nightmares about this tonight, but my parents have heard about this endlessly. It was always swim to me, swim to me, swim to me. And she kept moving. And I remember bringing my head up for air and thinking, "Woman, I can see your feet moving. What are you doing?" And if I had been 5'9 at the time, I would have just dropped my feet down and had a full-on temper tantrum. But I couldn't. So I just kept a swimming with my goggles, occasionally my little nose plugs, because I'm super cool. And I'm sorry you never made that fashion statement in the pool. But it just seemed like the finish line kept moving. I could never get there, no matter how far, how brave, how hard I tried. I never quite reached the end. And it's a pandemic, and I draw a lot of parallels to that. I thought I might be the only one, and I was kind of keeping it to myself until earlier this week when I said, "Hey guys, what would you like to kick off season 3 of this podcast you have so graciously helped me launch and keep going for, you know, the better part of 2 years? What would you like to talk about? Because we have ostensibly, possibly, maybe, depending on your opinion, the biggest interview of our history coming up soon. I spoke to Lovie Ajayi Jones, a New York Times bestselling author, a TED Talk presenter, a generally amazing person who is about to launch her second book, which I have no doubt will join the first on the New York Times bestsellers list. And I can't wait to share that inspiring, side-eye-giving, snarky, funny, encouraging talk with you. And pretty much everyone said, yeah, that's so great. And I cannot wait to hear it. So proud of you. Way to go, but not all at once. This community means something. But also I'm tired. And also I need a little encouragement. I need a little shot in the arm of confidence. I need something. I've seen a meme that says, I need something stronger than coffee and slightly weaker than cocaine. And I don't drink coffee. Probably should mainline it. But I get that feeling. And after, you know, the 2011th DM, I started to get, hey, maybe you're not the only one for whom the finish line wasn't just the end of March, and then perhaps early summer, and then late summer, and then fall, everything will be better. And then, you know, the holidays, okay, after the holidays, which were totally different than we expected, 2021, that ball is going to drop, and we're going to turn a page on a whole new world. And here we are in 2021. We're facing it. We're feeling it in our bodies. Some of you said you feel it in your stomachs, your necks, your chest, your back. You're having a hard time sleeping. You're feeling it in your actual bones. And I can't wait to share Levy's story. I can't wait to share the other stories that we have on deck for season 3 about all manner of things within our community, encouraging and inspiring and heart-wrenching. But guys, we're in it. We're in it up to our eyeballs, and it would be 100% disingenuous for me to say otherwise right now. So here I am with you and this bubbling, for some reason, Target brand coconut pineapple seltzer water that feels like talking back to you. And the two of us are in this walk-in closet, and we just want to have a little chat, little pep talk. You requested it. It is something that the Calm app and I have been giving myself all week long. So let me share it with you and tell you what came to me the other night when I was praying and doing something I like to call night Googling, which is, I'm so tired, I can barely keep my eyes open. Then I go through my nighttime routine. I lie down, I get ready for the night, and suddenly I am desperately curious about, like, the Habsburg dynasty, or the middle name of Queen Victoria's fourth child, and where his great-great-grandchildren ended up, how many Romanovs were related to Queen Victoria, and, you know, what their finance hedge funds are doing these days. It's a bottomless well of curiosity that adds up to nothing when the sun rises, but in the meantime, I'm just Googling away with one eye open. BTW, if you don't know, I cannot see the big E on the chart. My vision, uncorrected, is about 2600. It's no good. And I take my glasses off, put them on the bedside table, and I want you to picture me on my side in the light of my cell phone with one eye closed and one eye squinted to try to read about the 17 names these minor European royals gave their children 125 years ago. And then the light, you know, comes on and the alarm goes off. And I am regretting that I know Charlotte, Augusta, Marie, May, Christabel, Victoria's 17 names and the names of all of her children, because none of it matters. But here we are. And clearly we're not alone, which was both a comfort to me and also tugged on my heartstrings, because I hate that anyone else might also be night Googling. You can picture Liz Lemon from 30 Rock singing about her night cheese if you want, but here we are, solidarity, learning about all manner of things that we really don't need to know about. And in fact, our brains and our bodies are doing what they can to cope with the craziness of what's happening beyond the confines of our bedrooms. So let's have a little pep talk, shall we? While I was doing my most recent night Google, picture like a copyright symbol, a TM, trademark sign, night Google, something came to me, and I realized that that is what I would say to a friend, and that is probably what a dear friend would say to me if I unloaded this on all of her while perhaps I was waiting for that Calm app to load. Of course you are. And I think that's what I'm going to call this episode. Of course you are. I don't care what you're feeling, what you have to say to me. What deep, dark resentment or rage or frustration or heartbrokenness or exhaustion or boredom you are feeling. I want you to picture that you're saying this to me, just dumping it all out, handing it over, and I am saying, you're feeling tired? Of course you are. You're feeling angry, apprehensive, confused, frustrated, disappointed, let down. Of course you are. I want to validate whatever it is that you're feeling. I wish I could read you a text exchange that I had with a dear friend the other night, but I just couldn't without revealing too many personal details about the two of us. But I want you to know it was a back and forth. I'm eating a pound of Twizzlers. Okay, well, I ate an entire package of pasta for dinner. Cool. I've not changed out of my sweats. Oh, well, I have been in the same pants for 4 days. My hair might be made of dry shampoo. Oh, you use dry shampoo? Look at you, overachiever. I mean, it was just, one day we'll probably look at this in some kind of an archaeological forensic text deep dive to see what we wrote to one another in this time. But in the moment, it was just like, yes, so validating. We are all in this place. And let me tell you part of why I, and perhaps you, am feeling this way. Number one, that finish line, I kept nudging it along, moving it from April to perhaps June to maybe August to for sure fall. And then the holidays seemed so sacred and special, and the world was still different, and COVID was still not gone, and everything was still hard. And all of a sudden, 2021 came roaring in. And in addition to Ilaria Baldwin becoming Hillary, which is a trauma you and I will be unpacking for decades, we have a few other headlines to unpack. And we're unpacking things that our grandchildren will genuinely study in U.S. history classes. And more than that, we can't unpack them together. We can't process them. We can't encourage each other or distract each other. We can't have those kind of sisterhood, unofficial gatherings where there are stacks of Us Weekly and, you know, a little container of OPI shades and perhaps some Twizzlers and a little white wine and The Bachelor. We can't do that. That's not a thing we can do right now because our germs have to stay under one roof. And so we're separated. And on top of being separated, we are watching genuinely historic, please God, once in a lifetime things unfold. In all of the dozens and dozens and loads of responses I got about what we should discuss in the season premiere of season 3, no pressure, and season kickoff, that I had anticipated that Levy Ajayi Jones, she with the three names and the bestseller, would just carry the brunt of content creation for me. Instead, we're all saying, hey, I don't want that. I want to hear that I'm not by myself. And there was only one or two voices in the midst of that who reached out and said, hey, please don't do anything political. And I actually wrote back because I don't believe that I've ever covered anything particularly political. Even my friend Catherine Miniker, who was running for South Carolina State Senate, was less political and more, how, girl, how do you do it? Two school-age children, a full-time job, a husband you love who's on the other side of the political belief spectrum. Walk us through how and why. You could just take a nap in that free time. And really what this woman and the other who both sent these DMs, what they meant was current events. And I said to both of them, and you should know, I am not only a firstborn Southern woman taught politeness from before I could speak, I'm an Enneagram 1 and a people pleaser and someone who very much wants her words to be of value to you. So saying this was both a challenge. Actually, it was just a challenge. It was just a challenge for me to say, hey, if by politics you mean what happened last week, total euphemism for our country being at the brink of a precipice we've never seen in our lifetime, for the Capitol being invaded and our lawmakers being terrified and traumatized, and all of us watching this unfold in the middle of a work week and going back to life as though nothing was going on. If you mean that, it's going to be difficult for me to give you both that pep talk and avoiding any reference to why you need that pep talk. So I hope that I have all of your hearts and patience and grace, and that you know me enough to know that I'm not here to anger you. I'm not here to divide you. I'm here to encourage you. But part of that is going to be saying, yeah, I saw that too. And I felt the same things you did. And even worse, I feel very keenly this sense that we cannot process this together because it is so divisive. Everything feels so political. I remember when quarantine first kicked off, my sweet grandmother, who at the time was just a busy little bee making masks for frontline healthcare workers, sent up masks for the six of us. And most of them were made out of this adorable fabric. I had red and white stripes. Bradley had flags. So, you know, stars and stripes. My kids had little stars on navy print. And it felt, at one local grocery store I went to, one of the last grocery stores I set foot in for a long time, that wearing masks was a political statement. And I thought, how interesting that I'm wearing, you know, Old Glory, the Star Spangled Banner, on my mask. And here are people fighting and disagreeing about that in the bread aisle. Which obviously, you know, is where I hang out. So it hit me right where it hurt, right in the carb wound. But that's how I feel about this too. We are now at a point where, instead of saying, I saw this and these people are not what I believe in, and these people are doing things I don't agree with, and it was violent and it was scary, we feel unsafe saying that publicly. We don't have the ability to have kind of a town hall or a community forum, but we don't want to be divisive for people who voted differently or even the same as we do. So I just want to say, and I'll show my age in this discussion, but I've given a lot of thought to it in between night Googling, you know, Queen Victoria's many, many descendants. And Columbine happened when I was in high school. It was a super formative time. And in addition to happening while I was in high school, I was in a magnet program for super cool nerdy nerds, and a few of them set off fireworks in a trash can in our commons, in our cafeteria, just weeks after Columbine. That was so fresh and so new, and terrifying. It absolutely scared people to bits. I think someone got injured in kind of the ensuing stampede to get out of there. And just a few years later, September 11th happened. While I was in college, not under the safety of my parents' home and protection and ability to turn the TV off, and I was glued to it. I was absolutely glued to it and brokenhearted. And so many of our world's difficult challenges, if you are in your 30s, or wherever you are, your 20s, your 40s, your hundreds, have unfolded in front of your eyes. And it's a challenge to see these images on social media, which are practically distributed in real time, and not feel it. A friend of mine sent me a podcast this week, and she said, "You remind me of the vicarious sufferer that this podcast references." And I thought, ooh, that does not sound very flattering. And I listened to it at 1.5 speed, which is a gift to me to be able to squeeze in little 15-minute podcasts in, you know, 10 minutes. This guy was a slow, encouraging talker, and I probably need to listen to it a few more times. But he talked about vicarious suffering as feeling the pain of the world, being acutely aware of it, and the fact that it might not just be a weakness, that it is a God-given ability to let pain come into us physically and emotionally, and to turn it into a gift, a ministry, a blessing as it leaves us. And that is my fervent hope for receiving all of the visual images of people climbing the Capitol, of scary things happening. I've never really felt a deep well of compassion for our nation's lawmakers, not particularly because I don't like them, just, you know, I'm kind of up to my eyeballs in car lines and deadlines and taxes and birth certificates and all the things that regular life require of me. But I really found empathy for people who were whisked away from their workplace, afraid, in much the same way as those people from Columbine were years ago, confused and unsure of what was happening or what could happen. And then here you and I are, witnessing it. What we hoped was the flip of a calendar, the bright new day ahead of us in 2021. It's a little bit different. And so I just want you to know, of course you are. You're eating handfuls of whatever as you binge watch Grey's Anatomy at night. Of course you are. You're sleeping more than usual. Of course you are. You're perhaps feeling more anxious and trying to control your food intake or your exercise. Of course you are. You are concerned about the world you're leaving to your children, and you feel more anxious when they leave you for the day. Of course. Obviously. Whatever it is you're feeling, of course you are. You are not the only person. There are going to be thousands of people under the sound of my voice who are going to be feeling exactly what you're feeling. And they may have voted very differently than you did at everything from homecoming queen to president. They may be of very different political ideologies. But here's the thing. 99% of people around the entire globe, they just want to work hard, come home, and tuck their kids in bed. Maybe they want to watch Grey's Anatomy. Maybe they want to read Dickens. Maybe they're listening to their favorite podcast. Maybe they fall asleep at 7 p.m. like I always wish I could. But most of us just want to take care of the people entrusted to us. So you're probably listening to this thinking, Anne, you could have led the season off with the biggest guest that you've ever had. And instead, you are just telling us what we already feel. That's true. Part of it is validating what I feel. And part of it is because we are so isolated, because there is not a water cooler at our office, because our office is our dining room table, because there's not that pickup line at the playground where you can play with little kids who are waiting for their siblings to get out of school, because they're not those simple communal things. You're going to feel a lot more lonely. Everything is going to be magnified. One thing that I learned, and I will share this week on Instagram, just so the rest of our little community can enjoy it too. Brené Brown had a really powerful podcast episode where her guest talked about completing the stress cycle and that our bodies hold on to and feel stress, which I don't think is surprising to any woman between the age of, you know, 16 and 93. We're holding it. I'm holding it in, you know, my shoulders and neck. Perhaps I feel it immediately in my chest. And what Brené and her guests recommended was completing the stress cycle with some kind of physical exertion. I don't know if that is you jumping on the trampoline with your kids, if it's you pounding it out for a 2-mile run, taking what Aaron H. Moon on Instagram, who is a delight and a must follow, calls a stupid walk. I call it a sanity walk, whatever you want to call it, move. Angry dance party, Meredith Grey and Christina Yang style. By the way, if you're taking a shot for every Grey's Anatomy reference in this episode, go ahead and call 911 now, because I love you and I want you to stick around for the next episode. Do what you need to do. Shake it off. Regulate your nervous system and remind yourself that just because you're not with other people who can say, girl, me too, doesn't mean it's not true. And what you're feeling right now is valid. If you're feeling frustration and anger that this is even still a conversation, yeah, of course. My daughter started talking about her birthday, which is in the middle of February. And she was telling me, you know, some things that she hopes to do. And I realized her last birthday was kind of our last hurrah before all of this, total euphemism, gesturing vaguely, kicked off. And I realized in that moment, I don't want to do this anymore. I got through. I kind of doggy paddled, just keep swimming. I don't want to do this. The ball dropped. The calendar flipped. I'm over it. I'm done. And it feels like new hurdles are arising every day. The way to power through that is not to power through it. It's just not possible to shove it down in our delicate little human bodies. We were not designed to hold this much information and stress, to hold this much responsibility on our physical and figurative shoulders. It's just not possible. I can't tell you how freeing it is to hear someone else acknowledge the hard parts, the me too of this all. It dissolves a significant portion of that stress. Hearing someone you love and admire saying, I feel that too. I too want to buy a tiny island and just go wait this out on our own little safe oasis. I too want to eat pancakes 6 times a day and throw kale into the deep end of the ocean. Whatever your I too want to do this, say it out loud. Put it in your DMs to me. Know that everyone is feeling quote unquote not quite themselves. It's going to take a long, long time before we feel ourselves. And even then it will be a new self. It will not be who we were before the capital situation unfolded in such a traumatic way a week ago. And before COVID introduced itself to our country last year in a way that upended everything. The way we work, the way our kids go to school, the way we spend time together. You're not the only one who feels that way. And telling yourself you are is only going to make you feel less functional, less energetic, less able to handle this. It is absolutely imperative that you name the voice in your head that's criticizing you. Mine is Doris. I just decided that today after getting some great advice about it. So I can say to Doris, hey, Doris, pipe down. God created me to feel all of these things. And if I wasn't this sensitive and I didn't feel it in my body and my heart and my chest and my mind, if I didn't want to engage with other women about it, then I wouldn't have the career that I do. I wouldn't be the friend that I am. I wouldn't be the mom that I am. Sure, my husband Bradley, he doesn't feel things the same way. Doris, you have to remember, that's why we work. If he and I were both lying down for an hour at 3 p.m. because we just read something that absolutely shook us to our core, by the way, for me, that was about vaccine distribution, but it's going to be all right, girl. Don't worry about it. Doris has a really negative view of things. And if you can't speak to that voice and reminder that the creator of the actual universe gave you specific gifts and is renewing you every day, even if you don't always feel it, sometimes that's with just enough to eke out one more day, then call a friend. Phone a friend. What was that ridiculous show with that British lady who wants to be a millionaire, maybe? I don't know. Whatever it was, I didn't watch it, but I'm making that cultural reference to broaden the scope of this metaphor and say, call somebody into this. Let them speak truth to you. Let them remind you, oh, you saw that shiny filtered picture? Yeah, that was about 30 minutes after I had a crying spell on the floor of my closet because I miss my grandmother or my best friend or my aunt or that ice cream place that closed down. Bring someone else into it. If it's me, I'm delighted. It makes me feel so useful and as though perhaps I washed my hair in the last 48 hours, which, spoiler alert, I haven't, because washing my hair makes me 943% less likely to take sanity walks or do any kind of exercise, which is just good for my mental health. So in some strange equation, dirty hair is better for my mental health, even if it makes me feel less cute. Different story for a different day. I just want you to know that, of course you are, should be your refrain, whether it's to Doris or a friend or just yourself in the mirror. You're walking through something your grandchildren will genuinely take notes about and struggle to process decades from now. It will be on their AP US history exam. Their teachers, who are, you know, perhaps even younger than your own children, if you have any, will struggle to find the words to explain it in the same way that I couldn't really walk you through Watergate now. And at the time, Clinton's impeachment, I was like, huh, wonder why this is such a big deal. Anyway, let's talk about what we're doing this weekend. Yeah. One day, people will study this. They're going to start pretty quickly. And they'll have a clarity of hindsight that we don't have. So if you are getting by with more calories, with more sleep, with less sleep and more night Googling, I do wish you a little extra rest because it's better for all of us. But I want you to know that it's not out of the realm of normal coping mechanisms. You're doing okay. Even if we're not showing it, everyone is feeling this. And it doesn't need to be so fraught. It doesn't need to be about whether or not you voted for the same person I did. I believe that we want the same things. We want our children to grow up in a safe and loving society. We want our country to feel that they can turn on the news without seeing their neighbors attacking one another. We want what is best for the people we care about. And that includes you. Whatever you're doing, your body and your brain are not built to handle this kind of information and stress. So have a little grace in a year. Oh my goodness, think about that. I've never wished away time, and I don't wish away time now, but I want you to have that perspective. Don't even think about when you're 85, what that woman will say. Think about next January, the relief, the peace, the grace you will have for January 2021 you, who's been through the ringer and is like, okay, are we done? Like, this roller coaster needs to be shut down. Shut it down. Shut it all down. Bring it to a pause. I want hot cocoa and soft pants and a weighted blanket and a good night's sleep. That's all I want. And that's what 99% of us want. I don't want to minimize the deeply held beliefs that you have. I know that my heart has been broken again and again, and I'm an Enneagram 1. I want to shake people and tell them this is the right thing to believe. And I truly don't understand how you could see things otherwise. But it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't add anything. And right now, we just don't have the emotional resources to be spewing and sprinkling around, except to people we care about. So lean into that. Find your two people, your one person, your 12 people, divide it up if you need to. People want to hear that you're having a hard time because they are too. Spoiler alert. I can give you a list of Netflix shows. I can give you a list of podcasts that I wish I had time to listen to great books, to distracting. I have found nostalgia is a great thing. Reread some old books. My very favorite book is Edith Wharton's Age of Innocence, and Scorsese's film version of it is also a beautiful distraction with Winona Ryder and Michelle Pfeiffer and Daniel Day-Lewis at their heyday. Find what you need to keep your eyes up, but don't do it alone. We are already isolated enough. And whatever it is that pops into your head, you should be doing that. You should be doing this, but instead you're doing this. Let this be the voice of all the but not all at once people saying, of course you are. Of course you are. I don't blame you. I see you. I understand you. And you are not alone. Go take a little nap. Get a sweet tea, a diet lemonade, a diet Coke. Take a moment for yourself. You're carrying a whole lot. And this generation, our generation, has seen so much unfold on screens. There's so many sensitive points. There's so much heartbreak. It's okay. It's legit. This is something we will talk about and process and untangle for ages. But don't think about that now. For right now, no, we're gonna be okay. I made mashed potatoes last night. They were delicious. They helped me a whole lot tonight I'm having a spaghetti bolognese, and it's going to be pretty tasty. You know, I would normally try to choke down a salad, but I'm not going to tonight. Tonight, I'm just going to eat the pasta. And I'm going to drink this pineapple coconut sparkling water, pretend it's a tiny tropical vacation in a can. And tomorrow morning, when I release this episode to your little earbuds, I'm going to feel nervous, as I always do. And especially when the episode opens up a part of me, allows me to be a little vulnerable. And I want you to know that I mean everything I'm saying. You're not by yourself. None of this is easy. For whom could this possibly be easy? Someone who's not paying attention? Someone who's not feeling or imagining what their neighbor is thinking? Care for the little people who are entrusted to you. Your children, your spouse, your significant other, your family, your next door neighbor. Care for those people regardless of their circumstances or their party registration. Let's figure all that out in the long run. But for right now, care for yourself and the people that you can see in your direct eyeline. DM me. I have a trillion memes and probably three times that many TikTok videos I can send you to just boost your mood. I can share with you SiriusXM's Dave Matthews channel, which is a godsend to my serotonin levels. And I can talk to you about all the things that I wish I'd known about 90s celebrity gossip, the movies that I loved, what I miss about that time, what I'm delighted to say goodbye to about that time. I won't say it's my heyday because I feel like I have a lot of good years ahead, but it's definitely a little boost of happy mood molecules, I guess, when I need them. So, hey, thanks for coming back for season 3. Thanks for, as of the end of April, bringing us to two full years of, but not all at once, of sharing your stories. We have some incredible ones coming up about infertility, surrogacy, encouragement, being a best-selling New York Times author and what that brings to your goals and your imposter syndrome. We have so many things in store. But for right now, I just wish you your thing. Whatever your thing is. Chick-fil-A sweet tea, you know, a talk with a good friend, get some earbuds in, take that sanity walk, a nice bath, a deep glass of wine, pasta of your own. I'm wishing it all for you. And my DMs are 100% open. And one day, when you're 85, you will be telling your grandchildren about this and guiding them through their AP US history syllabus and thinking, wow, we made it. Thank God that part of our history is behind us. There's still a lot of beauty to be had here. And a good bit of it is in the DMs that said, I want to know how I can help my struggling friend and my struggling neighbor, but I don't want to put my stuff on her. It's okay to share your burdens. That's the whole ding-dang point. I'm really proud of you. I thank you for being here, for giving these little airwaves a spot to land and a community with which to share our own burdens. And I look forward to happier weeks, to Levy's story next week, and to all of your stories. You can find me, as always, but not all at once on pretty much every social platform and at notallatonce@gmail.com. Email me, tell me what you would love to hear, tell me what your coping mechanism is, what got you through your last sanity walk, and if perhaps you walked so angrily that you busted a hole in the toe of your walking shoes, I'd enjoy that too. In the meantime, I'm going to go enjoy my pasta bolognese and send you so much love for a wonderful week. And if you do open that Calm app, take a deep breath before you do, because they will mock you with a little screen to tell you to calm yourself. I find irony in it. I pay for an annual subscription and I deserve a little more respect and a little more instant calmness. But we'll discuss that at a later time. I will talk to you next week, guys. Take good care.